This is CICK News. On May 5th, the District of Houston Council convened for its regular meeting, addressing key financial matters, public concerns, and several proposed bylaws. Among the highlights were the approval of the draft audited financial statements and discussions about community development initiatives. One of the primary agenda items was the presentation of the 2025 draft audited consolidated financial statements. Aaron Reimer from MNP presented the audit findings, highlighting a clean audit report and an overall surplus of $7.4 million for the year.
So total liabilities was $3.9 million. Net financial assets, $35 million. Non-financial assets includes prepaid expenses, inventory, and tangible capital assets. Total non-financial assets was just about $41 million, and an accumulated surplus at the end of the year of $76 million. Next page is the consolidated statement of operations. So this includes all of the revenue and expenses for the year. Government transfers and grants was up substantially from 2024, mostly relating to the Resource Benefits Alliance funds. On the expense side of things, total expenses for the year were just over $12 million, relatively consistent with the prior year, with the exception of the transportation line, which did increase a bit relating to increased paving during the year. So the total annual surplus was just over $7.4 million.
The council voted unanimously to adopt the financial statements, with councillors Rietzma and Stringfellow making the motion and seconding it, respectively. During the public input segment, councillors Rietzma and Uverman shared input collected at the Four Seasons Park open house the week prior. They said that several residents voiced concerns regarding local parks, particularly the condition of Four Seasons Park.
One complaint that kept coming up was the district using it as a dumping ground. And I agree, that facility is a park, and it should be treated like a park. We wouldn't tolerate dumping that crap in Steelhead Park or Jamie Baxter Park, but it seems okay to put it up to Four Seasons Park. So I'd like to see us find somewhere else to bring that and just treat that property as a park, as opposed to the way it is. I was there a week and a half ago. The pile was about 3 feet high. I was there today. The pile's probably 9 or 10 feet high.
Councillors Rietzma and Uverman emphasized the need to treat the park with respect, expressing frustration over the district for using it as a dumping site. Residents are passionate about maintaining the quality of their community spaces, and the council acknowledged the importance of addressing these concerns. The council reviewed multiple bylaws, including Bylaw 1228, Comprehensive Fees and Charges, which was approved without opposition, Bylaw 1229, which was the 5-year financial plan, in favor majority, with 2 councillors opposed. Bylaw 1232. This bylaw was presented for adoption and carried unanimously, establishing the property tax rates for the upcoming year. Bylaw 1232 was in favor by all councillors present, with none opposed. Bylaw 1233, which is the bylaw notice enforcement. This amending bylaw was also presented for adoption and was carried without opposition. Bylaw 1234, the Standards and Maintenance Bylaw. This bylaw led to significant debate. Councillor Hugan raised concerns about a new enforcement clause allowing bylaw officers to enter properties without a warrant.
Why the change then from 2020 to this four then? I don't think that was really directly answered in regards to Councillor Hogan's first response to this new wording from 2020's wording to then this. Why that direct change of this? Just you're following the other ones. I kind of heard you answer there.
So this bylaw was identified in council strategic plan as one that council did want to review. It was a bit problematic in how it was drafted. The wording wasn't always clear. And our main goal with this is to be more clear and direct with what are the requirements of landlords? What are the obligations of the district? How can we enforce this bylaw? That was the main goal of really revamping this bylaw. And rather than presenting a very convoluted amendment, a repeal and replace is recommended for that.
The proposed Standards of Maintenance Bylaw number 1234 in Houston grants significant powers to bylaw enforcement officers regarding the entry into residential dwellings. Here are the key points. Officers are authorized to enter any property subject to the bylaw to conduct inspections for compliance with maintenance standards. They can also enforce the bylaw using various methods, including issuing tickets, notices, or summons under the Offense Act. Occupants cannot obstruct inspectors from entering a property when they are exercising their lawful authority. While the bylaw allows entry, the community charter outlines conditions such as needing consent from the occupier, providing 24 hours written notice, or having a warrant. In emergencies, entry may occur without consent if there is a risk to health and safety. In conclusion, this bylaw aims to ensure residential properties meet maintenance standards while balancing enforcement needs with the rights of occupants. Other councillors echoed these concerns, questioning the balance between enforcement and individual rights. The discussion highlighted the provisions under the Community Charter that allow bylaw enforcement officers certain rights, but there were calls for reviewing the wording to ensure it does not compromise residents' privacies and rights. The vote record for Bylaw 1234, first reading was approved with further discussions to occur in subsequent meetings. A motion was passed to support the Houston Motocross Association's application for a Crown Land license. Councillors expressed optimism about the potential economic benefits, including tourism and community engagement.
My next item is a referral from the Regional District of Oakland and Jatco regarding a proposed Crown Land license of occupation from the Houston Motocross Association. I have been advised by the RDBN that they'll be considering this at their upcoming board meeting. So any comments that council wishes to provide to the RDBN at the board meeting can be put into a letter tomorrow based on what the discussion is tonight.
Just a quick comment on it. I read through all the paperwork and whatnot, and there's a fairly substantial group that's interested in motocross in town, bringing up youngsters into it and whatnot. So having a facility like this close enough to town, but not inside of town, I see no problems with this site going forward in this capacity.
Any other comments or questions? Zrogan?
I think that the location is well thought out. Significant amount of industrial noise coming from that general area during the day that I truly believe you won't even hear the motocross. And of course they can't use it at nighttime. So I can't imagine that it'll cause any residents any noise concerns, which would be a step up from what's currently happening with our motocross community in Houston all hours of the day. So my own kids included. So yeah. I like it. I think it's great. And I think that motocross is becoming a bigger and bigger thing. And it would bring a lot of tourism. Motocross parents, they come, they camp, they spend money in town, and I think we could definitely get on the circuit.
The location for the proposed motocross facility is about 17 hectares of Crown land outside of Houston by about 9 kilometers, accessible by Maurice River Road, and it was deemed appropriate by council due to existing industrial noise in the area, which is expected to mitigate any noise concerns from nearby residents. In conclusion, the Houston Council meeting addressed crucial financial reports and community concerns, which will set the stage for ongoing discussions about local bylaws and community development initiatives. Residents are encouraged to stay engaged and voice their opinions as these matters continue to unfold. CSK News is funded by the Government of Canada, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and is a participating station in the Local Journalism Initiative. On behalf of my colleague Dan Messick and myself, Pam Hassan, thanks for listening.